Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachiyomi as we do every single day. Lili Nishmas Abi Moria Rav Hillel Ben Meir Yechiel Michal Arayni Kaparas Mishkavo and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker Zichrono Livracha. We are in Sefer Yishayo and we're up to Perek Ches. And as we said the other day, there are so many different nevuos going on and different mefarshim who try to explain their nevuos over here. And we'll try to figure out what's going on with this one. So the first thing that happens is Hashem tells Yishayo HaNavi to take a piece of parchment. And he should write using a charet, a stylus. And he says, write the following. He says, Enosh lemaher shalal chashbaz. He says, to hurry the booty, plunder quickly. And this cryptic word contains the idea, lemaher shalal, to the invasion of plunder at the hands of the kings Shalmaneser and Sanherib of Ashur, who ultimately destroy Malchus Yisrael, and Chashbaz, the invasion of robbery, that's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, who destroys the country. So that's Nevuah number one. And Hashem says, I'm still going to appoint my witnesses. And he names the witnesses who are going to first appear on the scene about 200 and about 400 years. After 100 and about 200 years after Yishayo HaNavi speaks. And he's referring, of course, to Uriah HaKohen and Zechariah ben Yehu. Uriah, the Navi who came during the time of Yehoyakim, he told the Bnei Yisrael about the disaster if they don't do tshuva. And, of course, as you know, within 100 years, Malchus Yehuda was exiled into Babel. And the second one was Zechariah, who offered the Nevuah that we know very famously was Od Yeshu Zekenim Uzekenos Berchobos Yerushalayim, that the old men and the old women are with canes would be able to relax in the city of Yerushalayim, which filled with little boys and little girls. And of course, famously, the Gemara at the end of Makos tells us that Rabbi Akiva, when they saw the foxes running around, the Rabbanim saw the foxes running around on the Makom HaMikdash, they cried, and Rabbi Akiva laughed because of this pasuk. He said, until I saw Uriah's Nevuah being fulfilled, that Al Har Tzion Sheshameim Shualim Hilchuba, that Tzion will be plowed, and so too, I didn't know that Zechariah's would be filled. And of course, now that I see Uriah's was fulfilled, I know that Zechariah will also. And this is the first Nevuah, Od Yeshu Zekenim Uzekenos, it's going to be fulfilled. Then after he had that Nevuah, he also was told, we find out he was together with his wife, who is referred to as Nevi'ah, just the same way we refer to the wife of a Rav as a Rabbanit, or the wife of a Melech as a Malka. And he is told by Hashem to call that child Maher Shalal Chashbaz, to refer to the child as Maher Shalal Chashbaz, the idea of booty plunder, which is such a distinction from the last child who we're told to call Shar Yashiv, right? That I'm Immanuel. This one has a much more ominous name. And so here also, by calling him Maher Shalal Chashbaz, he is carrying the message that the Jewish people are about to suffer at the hands of the people who are going to come in. And soon after he's born, even before he learns how to speak, this is going to wind up being the case in front of the king of Ashur. And then Hashem comes to Yishayo and he gets another message. And this one is a issue within the Malchus Yehuda, that many of the citizens were unhappy with the government. The people over there who were living in Malchus Yehuda, especially under Achaz, who weren't happy with the fact that they were so much smaller than Malchus Yisrael under Pekach ben Remaliahu. And so they got very frustrated, and they were really sort of opponents within the government. Yishayo now looks into the future, and he sees that there was going to be an invasion. And of course, the attack by Pekach and Ritzin didn't materialize. But now Yishayo is looking in the future, and he sees a much more impending invasion, that of Sanherib, which is going to go along and destroy the entire Malchus Yisrael, and most of Malchus Yehuda, except for Yerushalayim itself. And so he comes around and he carries the Nevuah, who says that, look, the dissatisfied citizens of Yehuda, he says, since you're not interested in the waters of the Shiloach, In other words, the small Malchus Yehuda, and you're happily waiting to fall into the hands of Pekach and Ritzin, Hashem is going to give you much greater and powerful waters. In other words, in this case, the king of Ashur, Sancheriv, and it's going to overflow its boundaries, and it's going to go ahead and send flood waters your way. And it's got all the way to Yerushalayim. And that is what happens. Sancheriv gets stopped at the gates of Yerushalayim. And still notwithstanding, he warns, it's going to go. V'haya mutos kenafav melo rochav ha'artzacha Immanuel. Its wings will fill the width of your land, Immanuel. And he says, it's better to do what? It's better to band together and become friends, right? If you band together with nations and become broken and listen in the faraway lands, if you think that that's a great thing, utuetza b'sufar dabru davar v'lo yakum, the nations will think that they're going to go ahead and plan, but it's not going to stand. Ki Immanuel, you have to understand, everything is goes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. And so to understand this nevuah, Rabbi Schwab refers us back to Yishayahu's message to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who was freaking out when Sancheriv was trying to go ahead, and he got to the gates of Yerushalayim, and as they were getting ready to conquer, they conquered everything, and the rest of the world was too wild and uncivilized to bother with, but he conquers almost all of the civilized world except for Yerushalayim. And as they're sieging Yerushalayim, he makes an offer stipulating surrender and subordination, and Chizkiyahu told his people, don't respond. He asks Yishayahu, how should I deal? Eventually Chizkiyahu gets told by Yishayahu in the name of Hashem that his tefillah was answered and that the city's going to be saved. However, there was somebody in the city who didn't agree. His name was Shevna, and he said, we should surrender to the Assyrians, to the people of Ashur. We should make peace with them. And this person, who was either the Kohen Gadol, or he was the general manager, the administrator of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that he had even more Talmidim than Chizkiyahu HaMelech. But he's a traitor. And we're going to see in the Perek HaBeis that he had already set aside that he was going, he was hoping to become the puppet king of the Assyrians over here in Yerushalayim. And he told the people of Ashur that Shevna and his followers are going to surrender, but Chizkiyahu will not. And so, learning of this, Chizkiyahu was afraid that since Shevna had a greater Talmidim following, and more Talmidei Chachamim, that maybe he, Chizkiyahu, was going to lose. To which Yishayahu told him, listen, since he was already conspiring with the enemy, he, by definition, is considered a Rasha and a Baal Hana'a, and that's not going to work for him. So now, just in a veiled reference over there, Yishayahu tells Chizkiyahu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, don't be swayed by Shevna and his followers. Instead, as he says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ko amar Hashem elai b'cheskas hayad v'yasreini milechas b'derech hamazeh. Lo somrin kesher l'chol asher yomar hamazeh kesher. Hashem told me, don't associate with whatever this nation says is an association. And don't fear its fear, and don't give them strength. Because Hashem is going to give you the strength. The people were leaning towards associating with Shevna, and then by definition, with the Assyrians. He says, instead of focusing your fear on the enemy, think of Hashem, and think of His holiness, and you'll realize that you're going to go somewhere. Now, both Shevna's group and the Chizkiyahu's group were thinking they were doing God's will, but Chizkiyahu said that if those who stay and remain firm will be the Mikdash, will be saved from Hashem. Shevna, his followers, their trust was misguided. That's a tzur michshol, a stumbling block. And they thought that they were relying on him because of his great Torah knowledge, but the rock turned out to be weak because he wasn't able to listen to the words of the Navi. And the Chizkiyahu's followers, their faith in the words of the Navi will result in their being saved, and to Shevna's followers, their misguided trust will result in Eben Negev Ulitzur Mechshol, their destruction. And they're going to fall and falter, and they're going to cause a challenge in the Torah. And Hashem says, I wait for he who hides. In other words, the Yishayo received a revelation, b'chozek yad. It had to be crystal clear that Chizkiyahu was not supposed to follow Shamna and not supposed to surrender to the city and make peace with Sanherib, notwithstanding the fact that there may be some halachic basis. And it was clear, under normal circumstances, military outlooks for Yerushalayim were hopeless. And there, sometimes you could argue, b'koach nefesh, the danger to life should outweigh the words over here. But still, you might think, that the halacha required you to surrender. And not only that, chacham adif mi navi, a chacham is greater than a navi, might also assume that the opinion of Shebna, who is a Talmud chacham, should be followed over that of the nevuah of Yishayo. And so therefore, the nevuah was given in a very, very clear and unequivocal way. Yishayo says in no uncertain terms, Hashem has made it crystal clear that anyone considering to the contrary is going to be mistaken, that under no circumstances were they supposed to surrender to the city. And so, calling out the people of Yerushalayim by the name Immanuel, the Navi gives a nevuah that God had ordained Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't fall in the hands of Sancheriv. And this was supposed to be a test of their bitachon. And so Yishayahu's nevuah continues, as he gets told in Pasuk Tes Zion, that the Jewish emunah can be preserved for posterity only if it's based on Limud HaTorah, of course, but that includes Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaalpeh. And Yishayahu is told to seal the Torah, which is to say to carefully preserve the Masorah of Torah to those people who study Torah. Yishayahu's students and all the future students of Torah will be able to study Torah in its original, unadulterated form. That is to say, he's told that the only hope for the survival of the Jewish people lies in the study of Torah. In a world filled with confusion and persecution, those who are ignorant of Torah get lost to the Jewish people, and only those who learn Torah will have a chance to be protected. And so now, Yishayahu expresses some of his own thoughts. As he does in Pasuk Yud Zayin, he says, "Listen, I await for Hashem, who's hiding his face from Beis Yaakov, and I hope to him." He says, "I can't wait for that." He says, I and the children Hashem gave me, who are supposed to be used as the signs, the Maher Shalal Chashbaz and Shar Yashuv, we are standing here, right, to be signs from Hashem in Har Tzion. And when you ask, to me, why aren't we reaching out to Avodah Zarah? Certainly every nation reaches out to its gods. He says, look to the Torah. The Torah Ulatuda. You should understand, in those situations, when you look to the Torah and the testimony, they won't say anything that casts no light. And you'll see that the beaten and the famished will wander through it, and when they go back to the process, they're going to figure out what's going on. So in the end of the parak, he goes back to his prophetic vision about the attack of the people of Ashur, and he describes the scene in the land afterwards. He's describing the Rishayim and the skeptics who never listened to him. He paints a picture of these frustrated, beaten, angry, famished survivors wandering through the land seeking food. And instead of blaming themselves, they come frustrated and angry, and they curse their king and God, blaming them for the catastrophe. Upana lamala, and that's when they turn up to Shemayim. But that's too late. In that situation, he says, there's no exhaustion. He says, the first part, there's no exhaustion. When he first attacked, he took away Zvulun and Naphtali. But then, all of a sudden, the kings of Ashur are going to move beyond Zvulun and Naphtali, and they're going to take away the exiled tribes of Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe. And so again, this is going to continue in that process, and we have to be careful and be prepared for it. And this is Yishayahu Parakhes. Bezos Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue with the prophecy concerning Ashur.